Hi, everybody. I'm Bailey.
I'm Drew.
I'm Lacey.
And we're sarcastic, so let's get sinister. Do we have any banter before we jump right into this?
No, you know why we don't have any banter? Because we shot an
Why,
episode
Drew?
of our shoot the shit clip.
We got all our banter out.
Yeah, so if you're coming for the banter,
Too fucking bad.
yeah,
It's sold separately.
go. Oh, I like that. It's all
Banter sold
separately.
separately.
From all the infomercials in the early 2000s.
Oh. So, anyway, you can find it on our Patreon. I don't know if we actually said that, if we're just like, we're not gonna banter for you guys.
It's a mystery.
Okay, are we ready to get back into this, guys?
Ready.
Okay.
John, oh yeah, he looks like that
Yeah.
still. I forgot that he looks like that.
He's dead, so he
No, I
doesn't
forgot
look
that he
like that
looked like that.
anymore.
I remember being surprised by his face last week, but
So we're on part two of John Wayne Gacy. Brief recap. We talked about like his terrible childhood, how he struggled to make friends as a kid. He had like a heart condition, but he still managed to actually successfully like network with like politics and like his little like guy group. He was
his boy
married
band.
twice. Yeah. He was married twice. His first marriage ended after he was sentenced 10 years on December 11th, 1968, for a catch-all sodomy charge when he was like having sex with a 15-year-old.
Boy.
Yeah, sorry, boy. His second marriage ended when he started exploring his sexuality more and getting more interested in men.
Which isn't a crime unless you go about it the way that John Wayne Gacy did.
Yeah,
You can
and
just do
also,
that and not be a bad person. Like, you can explore your sexuality in a safe way.
yeah.
for instance,
Also, you know what? Just real quick, sorry. If you want to explore your sexuality, make sure it's like cool with your spouse.
your spouse. Yeah, that would be good too.
Oh, I just thought of something
Oh.
that I should have shared during the banter bit.
Oh, well, it's too late now.
I
We're not
know.
bantering for these people.
Pack it down for next week.
Just remind me when we're done recording to tell you guys about this. I'm gonna
Okay.
text Lacey a reminder.
There you go.
Go ahead, Bailey.
So even though he wanted to start exploring the sexuality more, he still was adamant he wasn't gay, and he hated homosexuals.
Oh, wait a second.
That made me think of something too.
Well, I'm just realizing that the story I was going to tell you is the one that Lacey sent us last week.
Oh, you did read it.
I was
The gay Gayson?
enthralled.
Yes. Okay. Go ahead, Bailey.
Bailey's in a hotel room.
I have a wedding tomorrow.
Ooh.
So, yeah, I'm out here in the middle of a place. Anyway. Oh, that's true. Whatever. So, we're gonna start with Robert Pice. Rob was 15 years old. He was a sophomore, a star gymnast at Maine West High School. He was described as good, responsible, conscientious, and had a great relationship with a loving, caring, attentive family. He worked at Nelson Pharmacy to save up for a car. If you really want to talk about minimum wage, do you want to guess what he was making back then?
$150.
$2.
It's in the $2 range.
250.
250.
A little higher.
225. 220.
275.
275.
$2.85 an hour.
Who?
Lacey, settle down.
I don't know why I panicked about that question.
We're not
Lower
playing
state
charades.
attorney.
Harry
If
Potter! Harry Potter!
the Price is Right. Rob was one of three kids to Harold and Elizabeth. Ken and Carrie were his older siblings.
Is there a picture of him that I should go to, or
Yeah. Keep one more. One more. One more. There he is. Sorry.
Okay. On
Dogs. December 11th, 1978, he would go missing. After telling his mom he was going to meet a construction owner to discuss a potential job.
Oh.
Look at his pretty puppies. They're
Yeah, they
so
had two German shepherds. They're
very
really
cute.
pretty. So what ended up happening was Gacy went to the Nelson Pharmacy because he was to meet the owners and talk about some remodeling work. He arrived around 5:30 p.m. to obtain measurements for an estimate. Kim Byers, a young cashier, was seen wearing a light blue down parka to keep warm by the front of the store. She was working the register. Rob was stocking shelves and had heard from one of the other workers that Gacy had paid his employees $5 an hour. Because Rob really wanted a car and was very close, he had the idea of approaching Gacy to talk about a job.
Yeah, that's much better than 280.
2:85.
Yeah.
Yeah. Around 7:30 p.m., Gacy was wrapping up his things and left. He made it halfway home and realized that he left his appointment book behind. So he returned back to the pharmacy. Hold on a second. When he returned, he noticed Rob was outside taking out the trash, grabbed his appointment book. At the same time, Rob noticed that he returned and went outside to talk to him. Now, Rob told Kim this, and Rob told his mom this, who was now at the pharmacy to pick Rob up and to go home.
So did he was like, "Hey, mom, just hold on."
Yeah, he was like, I want to go talk to this construction guy about a potential job. I'll be right back. Because he didn't have a car yet, and he was only 15, so he didn't drive. That was his mom's routine. She would pick him up from school, take him to his work, and then pick him back up from work. After chatting a little bit outside, Casey offered to have Rob come back to his house to discuss the job further in an interview and sign some paperwork. And then Gacy said that he would drive him back home. Rob was a little apprehensive at first. He was saying that it was his mom's birthday, which was true, and his family was waiting on him to sing happy birthday to her. Gacy, being a smooth talker and very persuasive, was like, "No worries, we'll get you there soon, no worries." On the way over, Gacy explained his company culture. He described them as working hard and playing harder. Gacy shared that he had his workers over his house frequently for parties, and that Rob, when he started working for him, would be more than welcome to come over as well. At the house, they stayed in the back recreational room where there was a bar, a TV, and a pool table. Gacy pushed Rob to like relax and have a beer and kind of like, don't rush me, like let's get to know each other and everything. And Rob, kind of just really wanting to have a good interview, was just kind of going along with it, even though he did seem uncomfortable. Eventually, with like the back and forth of like Gacy telling him to like relax and Rob being like, no, like we need to get this going so I can go home to be with my family, Gacy left the room to grab the job application paperwork and also returned with handcuffs.
Not what you want
Yeah,
to
I don't
happen
think that's
to you.
required.
Yeah. Gacy, being a clown, if we do remember, he cut
Sure do.
himself, demonstrated that like he was locked in. And then he turned around real quick, and was free. Obviously, Rob being intrigued, probably not around a lot of clowns because he's 15, wanted to see him again. So Gacy did it again, except this time behind his back, and again would spin around and free himself.
I feel like maybe he was also just being polite because, again, he wanted the job and
Yeah,
didn't
he's
want to be
like,
like, cool, bro.
yes, sir, please show me your clown trick.
Yeah.
So at this point, Rob was like, show me how you do this. I want to know. So Casey was like, sure. Cuffed Rob behind his back.
No. It was a trick.
Hold on.
You're catching on real quick, Lacey.
Smart.
I am paying
Nothing gets by
attention.
you.
One.
Banter for a little bit.
Okay.
Hey.
How do you feel about his clown costume?
I don't like it, and I don't like his clown face either.
He
So.
looks like maybe he's supposed to be like some kind of scarecrow
Yeah, it felt a little.
because of the patchwork.
Yeah. It felt a little scarecrow-y, like the outfit. A clown scarecrow. Don't really
I
love that.
forget, there was like a TV show where it was talking about how there are different kinds of clowns. I don't know what he would be considered.
Scarecrow clown.
I'm ready. I found my notes. I'm sorry.
Good talking to you.
So, Gacy had him cuffed behind his back, all in about less than 15 minutes from after they arrived at the home. Rob, 15, was looking at 36-year-old John Wayne Gacy and being like, okay, like, so how do I do this? And Gacy
How old is
responded,
he?
36.
No. The kid?
Rob
15.
was 15.
Okay, I thought you said 13. I was like, oh no.
Oh, no. It's 2 years
Not
to make
great.
it sound. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Gacy told him the trick is not being dumb and stupid and displayed the key back at Rob.
Jeez.
What a rude way to.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Like
just taunting
you're already
him.
about to do some mean stuff to this kid. You don't have to be a dick about
The trick is to not be a
it.
fucking idiot.
Yeah. Then Gacy pretty much propositioned him, saying, you'll do almost anything for money, so give me a blowjob. Rob, being absolutely not interested and scared, told him no, he doesn't want to do that. Get me out of this. Blah, 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 blah. Sorry. Gacy, who is now angry and accused him of leading him on and also lying to him, threatened to just rape him instead. He reached at Rob's pants, unzipped them, and then began to grab him. Rob, still cuffed, was helpless and trying to fight, but Gacy pulled his pants and underwear all the way down. At this point, Rob began screaming and begging, and then all of a sudden, Gacy stopped and began profusely apologizing and even removed Rob from the handcuffs.
I thought you were going to say even removed his own pants to
Oh.
make him feel comfortable.
Would that make you feel comfortable?
No, but I don't
Yeah.
know. That's.
So at this point, Gacy was like, you know what? That was weird. Like, let's pretend nothing happened. Let's move on. Blah,
Was weird.
blah,
Whoops.
You know what? That was not how I wanted to present myself to you.
And appropriately so, Rob was like, I really want to go home. Take me home. And Gacy was like, okay, bring the paperwork. We'll fill it out on the way. I'll get you home.
You still want to work for me, right? That
I mean, come
was just
on.
a weird thing that happened. You still want to work for me, right?
As Rob got to the door, Gacy decided to show him one more trick. He was like, you see this length of rope?
Oh no.
Blah, blah. He began tying knots in the rope, and then he slid a handle of a hammer without the like actual metal part between the knots.
Oh no.
Then Gacy slid the rope over Rob's head. It was loose, not threatening. And Rob was like, why are you doing this? And then all of a sudden, Gacy twisted the hammer handle twice, instantly tightening the rope around Rob's neck. This way of how he would strangle them kind of acted like a tourniquet. Like Gacy could have a very passive experience with it. Like as the boys struggled, it would tighten. Rob panicked, and the hammer handle was lodged tightly between his, like, behind his back, so he couldn't even, like, reach it. And Rob struggled and fell to the floor and died.
I was thinking that he's getting out in the nick of time.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be another one of those weird things, like, with that guy that came and stayed at his house that one time when he was super weird, but then, like, took him home the next day or whatever.
Oh, yeah. No, unfortunately, like, at this point,
I had a feeling it was going to be, like, a full victim, because we got some details about his personal life.
Rob would be Gacy's last victim. So at this point, Gacy just, he's perfected his ritual.
His last?
Yeah.
Have we talked about any others?
No.
I feel like I'm in a fever dream.
I didn't say that because I was like, oh my god, was I not paying any attention in part one when she told us about all these victims?
No, I structured this strange.
This is the first killing that we've heard of.
Yeah, but this is also the killing that, like, takes Gacy down.
Well, yeah, because everybody knows that Rob went to his house. I thought this was the first one, and no. I was like, how does he get out of this? Because I know that he's, like, not. Killed a lot of people.
Right. So, tell us how they take him down.
This is also Rob.
I feel like we're going to go.
Yeah, it's a weird structure. I'm sorry.
We're going to go backwards now, Lacey.
A little bit.
All right, take me back.
She's not just going to skip over the 30 other victims. You need to know about is Rob, okay? The other 30 are already dead and under his house. Moving on.
The other thing is, we know the most information about Rob.
I was mocking Lacey.
Okay. Anyway, so at that point, Gacy, Rob being gone, Gacy received a phone call from Nelson's pharmacy asking, like, hey, Rob never made it home. Did you happen to see anything? He ignored this. It was back when, like, voicemail would, like, voice aloud. You remember that?
Yeah.
You
could hear it recording in real time.
Yeah. Gacy took the knife, or not the knife, the rope off of his neck. He corrected his distorted face, stuffed something down his throat, and brought him back to his bedroom. On Gacy's purse, don't go too far.
I know, when I hit the scroll, it goes the wrong direction.
At that point, while Rob was on Gacy's bed, he stripped him bare, threw away, like, what he didn't need, and fell asleep.
Who didn't need? Rob or Gacy?
Gacy, like his clothes and stuff.
Okay.
The next morning was December 12th. Oh, wait. So Gacy went to bed next to Rob's naked corpse. While his family, Rob's family, immediately sprang into action. They knew instantly something was wrong. Rob wouldn't leave them. He wouldn't have just disappeared.
Plus, they were all waiting to sing happy birthday.
Yeah. They started calling his friends. They called Nelson's pharmacy. They even tried Gacy's home. They got Gacy's number from one of the Nelson owners and didn't receive any answer from Gacy.
I know, I'm glad that he got caught, but that was real dumb on his part.
Yeah.
He probably didn't realize that Rob had told several people what he was doing.
I think compared to his other victims too, nothing against them and everything, but people, like, he killed a lot of young gay men, and at this point, just with, like, investigations, they were very slow to take them seriously. It was also the 70s, so people were like, oh, he's probably, like, run away, he'll be back. So a lot of missing persons investigations weren't taken as seriously. Like, as fast.
Yeah.
Whereas Rob's family jumped on it immediately. So after calling their friends and around, Harold, Elizabeth, Ken, and Carrie went to the station, the police station, at 11 p.m. that night. Knowing everything I just said, the officer was like, kind of like, well, it could be that, but also he had a feeling and was pretty certain that something felt very wrong here. So he told them he needs approval from his commanding officer to start like a full investigation, but we'll know more in the morning. So after the family left, they made their own search party at night using their two German Shepherds as well.
Good dogs.
Harold, right. Ken, and Carrie spent the entire night searching all over the city of Des Plaines and the surrounding areas while Elizabeth waited at home by the phone. On the next day, December 12th, they returned to the police station at around 8:30 a.m., barely slept because they were searching for Rob. Officer Adams told them that he had a conversation with Gacy and the Nelson Pharmacy. He told the family that this needs to be a police matter, so no more search parties. But we're going to, like, get the ball rolling. They had a go-ahead to pursue an investigation, and they had an immediate emphasis on Gacy because he was the last person that saw him.
Plus, he was a creepy clown.
Yeah. On the other side of town, back at Gacy's house, Gacy woke up that morning at 6 a.m. next to Rob's body. He moved his naked body to the attic and started his day. He got a call from an officer, Adams, from the Des Plaines PD looking for Rob. Gacy's story was that he was at the pharmacy that night. He didn't know anything about a missing boy. He said no one approached him about a job, and he never spoke to any of the male employees.
So the just only, straight up lying.
Yeah. The only thing he did tell the truth about was that he saw a kid taking the trash out while he was leaving. And that was it. So after that sketchy phone call, later that afternoon, four officers already on the case. Four officers were already on the case. Two were calling Rob's friends, seeing if anyone had heard anything. And two were looking into Gacy. By the evening of December 12th, literally like 24 hours after Rob had disappeared, they knew the following. Gacy had a black 1979 Oldsmobile, tricked out to look like a cop car. He had like a spotlight and everything. Not a single friend or relative of Rob had seen or heard from him last night from 9 p.m. And none of them considered him likely to run away from home. Linda, an employee of the pharmacy, confirmed that she spoke to Rob about the fact that Gacy said he hired new employees starting at $5 an hour. They spoke to Kim Byers, the cashier at the pharmacy as well, and she confirmed that Rob told her that he was going outside to talk to a contractor about a job. They also confirmed with Rob's mom that Rob told her that he was going to go talk to a contractor. And they also found out that Gacy had been arrested and convicted for the crime of sodomy in Waterloo, Iowa. This is when he was sentenced 10 years, but only released 18 months later.
Is Pat watching, like, Cops or something?
No, that's actually outside.
Okay. Every now and then I hear a siren and I'm like, what is happening?
We're in a bad neighborhood.
Oh, dear.
It's a real bad neighborhood. They also saw that Gacy was arrested and charged with aggravated battery and reckless conduct June 22nd, 1972 in Northbrook, Illinois, but the case was dismissed. So they've got some dirt on Gacy. Around 9 p.m. that day, on the 12th, the four officers went to go visit John at his house.
You said John, and I immediately was like, who the fuck is John?
Sorry. Gacy.
I don't think I've ever heard him just referred to as John.
Johnny boy. They actually, when they arrived at his house, they ran into Mike Rossi, who is one of, according to Gacy, his best friends, who was like 19 or 20, and worked for him. While two officers went inside to talk to Gacy, two of them stayed outside with chilling with Mike. Gacy repeated his story, saying that he wasn't chatting with any boys last night at the pharmacy. He was just there doing measurements for an estimate. He also added, which was true, that the previous night after the pharmacy, he got a call about his uncle who had just died and was actually at the hospital consoling family, so he couldn't have done anything with a missing boy.
Okay, so that's not true.
Well, his uncle did die, and he did try to go to the hospital, but, like, everything was, like, his uncle was gone, and his family had already, like, left.
And so then Rob also, like, was like, yo, can I get a job? And he was like, how about instead?
Well, it was after Rob was already dead.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Yeah.
The officers weren't convinced, and they suggested that he come down to the station for a formal written statement. Gacy told them he had a funeral to plan and was really busy consoling family, and they should really respect death.
Yeah.
The head lieutenant pressed again and was like, when can we expect you at the station? We need this written statement. And Gacy was like, give me an hour or so. Let's remember that, an hour or so. So the police left. They had two cars there. One took off back to the station. One stayed by to watch over Gacy and now Rossi, who was there with him. Gacy chatted with Rossi and thought it would be fun to lead the cop car aimlessly around the city. As they drove off in separate cars in separate directions, Gacy managed to be confident that no one was following him and they were following Rossi and headed back home.
Was there, he right?
Yes.
Oh.
There, he took Rob out of the attic, put him in an old orange rug and rolled him up, and put him in his trunk. He took off south on Interstate 294, headed towards Joliet. He stopped at a huge suspension bridge that went over the Des Plaines River. After checking that he was alone and no cars were coming, he released Rob's body into the river. He then rushed to make that appointment with the police station, saying he was only going to do like be gone for like an hour or so. But it's December in Chicago. And I don't know if I mentioned this before, Gacy doesn't think speed limits apply to him. So when he hit a patch of black ice, he ran immediately into a snowbank.
Uh-oh.
And got trapped.
Oh, dear. And did the police show up and be like, why are you here?
Not until 2 a.m. when a tollway employee noticed his vehicle and came to help.
Was Gacy knocked out?
No, he had tried to get his car loose and everything, but it was, like, really stuck.
Oh, and there weren't cell phones.
Yeah, it's the 70s.
Yeah. I'm catching on.
So, again, he told the cops that he would be at the police station probably around, like, 10:30, 11, 2 a.m. He gets rescued by this tollway employee who offers to call a tow, which Gacy was like, I don't really want to pay for that. But then, like, after a while, he was like, but I have to get to the police station. Fine. And he was free.
I'm so glad that he was, like, so concerned about having to get to the police station.
He was also really concerned about, like, when the police were, like, not respecting the death of his uncle while having Rob's naked deceased corpse in his attic.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So now, December 13th, Gacy finally made it to the station for his written statement, guys. It was early morning. He was covered in mud. Disheveled. and it was 3:20 in the morning.
Oh, can you imagine, like, the police? They were expecting him to show up around 11?
Pretty much.
4 hours later, he rolls in just covered in mud. Like, what's your first thought?
What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, what happened, man? Oh my goodness.
So, good thought process, Drew. The front desk literally was like, the lieutenant waited as long as he could, or as long as he thought reasonable,
and his shift ended.
Yeah. So you're gonna have to come back in the morning.
Yeah, at a reasonable time, not 3 a.m. Yeah.
Gacy returned around 10, 11 a.m. On the 14th, or nope, still the 13th, sorry. He was placed in a conference room at this point, asked to sign a witness statement while his keys and wallet were taken. While he was there, he really loved to use his large ego, talk about everyone that he knew in politics and the police station, but having such a large ego, it was really easy to entertain him while they executed a search warrant at his house.
Oh, no.
Which is why they took his keys.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, it's bad news bears if the police take your stuff.
Yeah.
Like, when they pull you over at a traffic stop and they're like, give me your keys, that's bad news bears.
They do that?
Yes.
Yes, they do, if they think you're drunk and you might take off.
Oh, okay.
I've watched, you know, I like to watch the body cam videos.
Yeah. Okay. During the search, they came across Gacy's other best friend and best employee.
Real quick, it's a good thing that you didn't know that police do that. It's a good sign for you. Good work, Bailey. Lacey, did you know?
Yes, I've been arrested many times.
Oh my god.
I keep things secret from you guys.
She's a bad girl.
That's why she knows so many things for this show. She's on the
But not in a good way. Like, no. She's committing the crimes. Okay. Alright, so he came across his other best friend?
Yes, David Cram, his other employee.
Is he also inappropriately aged?
Yeah, he's like 18 too.
Great.
Who was there for work and to pick up supplies? Because, you know, construction never sleeps. They questioned him and asked him if he had ever found something suspicious around the home or the property.
Yeah, like all these dead bodies.
David was like, well, I've seen a couple wallets in the garage and like different IDs.
That feels like a bit of a red flag.
Yeah.
Like, I've just found like wallets and IDs of missing boys from the neighborhood. I didn't think anything of it. Yeah. Because Gacy's my BFF. He's like 10 years older than me, but...
Well, so Gacy considered them his BFFs. I don't know if they were his... He was theirs.
Well, now it's just sad.
There's a lot about Gacy that's kind of sad.
But he's such a happy clown.
No, he's not. Mm. He's a creepy clown. In the search, they were hopeful that they could... that Rob was just being held there captive, alive, and that they would just find him in the house somewhere.
That would have been really nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because this was still, like...
24 hours.
It's just... Well, it's the second day since someone's seen Rob, so they were hopeful.
The first 48.
Yeah. But they found no one else there. They went through his office. They noticed the tiki bar inside his house, which he had a full... Like, his bar inside his house was, like... a tiki bar. Interesting choice. Yep. They found torture toys.
Something to entertain his guests.
Yeah. They found torture toys. If you go back, Drew, that's the list of like evidence and stuff that they found during the search. Yeah. Chains, sex toys, handcuffs, and paraphernalic books. I don't know if I just made that word up, but I'm gonna stick with it.
What was the word again?
We're gonna gloss over it.
Paraphernalia.
Books about paraphernalia, I think.
Thanks, English teacher.
I got you.
In the kitchen trash can, they noticed a photo receipt for Nelson Pharmacy. They took it because it seemed odd for Gacy to go all that way to develop photos. Gacy didn't live in Des Plaines. He lived in, like, a neighboring, like, town. So to go to Des Plaines for photos, it's a far drive. He'd have to go on the highway. They also found a high school class ring from Maine West High School with the initials JAS, IDs for other people, and they found a crawl space in the closet by the front door, but it just looked like mud down there.
Oh.
After a few hours, Gacy was insulted and complaining, and they didn't have anything to hold him on, so he was let go. At this point, the lieutenant in charge ordered surveillance to begin. So on December 14th, 3 days after Rob went missing, 24 hours of continuous surveillance began on Gacy. Delta Force was a group of young undercover investigators who volunteered and were assigned to follow Gacy. It's a group of five guys, one being their superior, and then they split up into two shifts. So Rob Robinson and Bob Schultz started from noon to midnight, and then Dave Hackmeister and Mike Albrick would do midnight to noon. They were supposed to be undercover or not noticed, but Gacy knew quickly he was being watched, and he would drive even more aggressive than he already was to try to lose them as much as he could. So Delta Force decided, fuck it, pretty much, and they were going to do overt surveillance, where they would introduce themselves, was honest with him, that they were there to watch him, and follow him.
I think that is more...
unhinged?
No, I think that I would prefer that if I was... because if they're undercover and Gacy knows them, though, it seems like he's got the upper hand because, like, they're trying to be sneaky, but I know what you're up to. Whereas if cops just walk up to you and they're just like, hey, I'm John, this is Jim, we're just going to be staking out your house for the foreseeable future. So don't...
not just staking out the house, like...
following you, yeah.
Like, yeah.
We're just going to be following you around for a while. I feel like that's more intimidating.
It's true.
Come up and just straight up be like, hey, we'll be following you.
What's up?
Don't fuck up or you're going to find out.
Yeah.
Fuck around.
The following day, Gacy was really enjoying the attention and having fun with Delta Force. Because he's Gacy.
Yeah.
They would follow him into diners, bars, and coffee shops, even like sit right at the table with him and have a full-on conversation. Gacy enjoyed telling people that they were from the FBI or his personal bodyguards. Pretty much anything to get extra attention from everyone around.
On the bright side, he's not going to be killing anybody.
That is the bright side. He tried to intimidate Delta Force at one point by saying that he was actually having them followed too. And at any point he could give the sign and they'd be taken out.
See, it's intimidating to say, hey, I'm following you.
Yeah. It wasn't intimidating to him, but like to other people.
Yeah, he liked it. But like, what if... I was being silly. What if they were like, we're following you? And he was like, oh yeah? Well, I'm going to follow you too. What if he did hire...
I could see him doing that.
Just hiring his own private investigator to follow the police around. Oh boy.
Also on December 15th, he approached his friend, Sam, sort of, not sort of to Sam, but sort of his friend.
Oh.
Sam was a lawyer who was working in the DA's office, but had recently gone out to, his own private.
So Sam is a real adult?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Sam and Gacy had run in similar circles. They were members of the same clubs, but they weren't close. Gacy called...
friends.
Yeah. Gacy called Sam, though, because he was like, the Des Plaines Police Department have been, like, following me, and, like, I don't know why. It has something to do with, like, a missing teenager, but, like, I don't know. So he asked Sam to kind of be like, can you look into this for me and, like,
make them stop?
Yeah. So Sam spoke to Terry Sullivan, the DA working on the case, and Sam warned him that if he didn't stop, he would probably have to file a lawsuit against the Des Plaines Police Force for harassment.
It sounds like they're having fun, though. They're eating out together and stuff.
Yeah, but the thing is that, like, with the constant following, like, Gacy was just, like, saying that it was affecting his business.
His business of kidnapping and murdering people?
True. No, the construction. God. Gacy is multifaceted, okay?
He's a multitasker.
He's a clown. He's got deep stuff going on.
He's a clown.
Sorry. On the following day, on the 16th of December, now 5 days since Rob perished, the investigators found Gacy's previous criminal history. He was charged with state disorderly, aggravated battery, reckless conduct, battery, and sodomy, which they didn't have charges yet for. They started getting a clearer picture of who John Wayne Gacy was. During this time when they were looking at previous criminal history, they came across a case that Gacy was involved in recently.
Interesting.
A live victim, too.
Oh.
Drew, scroll over to the next one. Jeffrey Rignall was a resident of Florida, but he claimed he was visiting a friend in Chicago at the time. He said he was walking alone at approximately 1:30 a.m. March 22nd, 1978, when he was picked up by a man in a black Oldsmobile with spotlights on it. He and the driver drove around and shared a joint. The driver suddenly covered his mouth and nose with a rag that was soaked with something. This ended up being, is it chloroform? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Okay. He was held at Gacy's for a few days, tied up and abused, until one morning he awoke to find himself lying in Lincoln Park, behind a statue. He found burns and bruises on his face and had pain and bleeding from his rectum, and he felt like he had been raped. After getting checked out, he went to the police, provided a brief description, but because of the time, and also because Jeffrey was gay, or is gay, if he's still alive, I'm not sure, it wasn't taken at the highest regard or seriously, and they didn't start really investigating it.
Yeah, that was like the same issue with Jeffrey Dahmer, too.
Yeah. Jeffrey said, hold my beer, I'm gonna do it myself. He rented a car and cruised around the area where he could remember that the incident took place. He actually began to remember a specific exit that Gacy took getting off the highway between, like, chloroform doses, if that makes sense. So then he would stake out that area for a couple of nights by that exit. He finally saw the car that he was sure he'd gotten into that night, recorded the license plate, and followed him home to obtain his address as well.
Wow.
And then Jeffrey went back to the police and was like, hey, I just did this for you.
Yeah, this is the guy.
Gacy was arrested for battery on July 15th, 1978. He was actually out on bond in December when Rob was taken. David Cram and Mike Rossi were interviewed. Mike had brought up that a couple employees of Gacy's had went missing or were even found dead.
Weird.
And they started, as they continued to interview more people, they started hearing, oh, this kid used to work for Gacy, but he's missing or hasn't been seen in a while. So they started looking into Gacy's old employees as well. Gregory Godzig, you can go to the next photo, Drew, was 17 years old. He was last seen December 11th, 1976. He was from Chicago and was working for Gacy before he went missing. His parents spent $5,000 on a PI, And he was last seen by his girlfriend at like 1:30 a.m. after a date, when he dropped her off and said that he was thinking about going to a party in Niles, which is another town close, like next to Des Plaines. His car was discovered in Niles, so he made it there, but he was never seen again. James Mazarar, he was found floating face down in the Des Plaines River, approximately 70 miles southwest of Chicago. Those were like two of the guys that Mike had brought up. Like, these were employees of him. I don't know where they went. They spoke to Carol, his second ex-wife, and she told them about a person that previously worked for John too, that she hadn't seen in a while. Who John claimed that just randomly left town. John Bukovich, was last seen July 31st, 1975. He worked with Gacy and one day just didn't show up for work.
He kind of looks like Ron Weasley.
Little bit.
Like when he goes to that ball, Lacey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On December 17th, the following day, Gacy's lawyers applied for a federal injunction to stop the police department in following him and affecting his business. They had an emergency hearing set for Friday, December 22nd. So if they got this granted, the police would have to back off and pretty much would just be pushing back their investigation of catching Gacy. On the 19th of December, 8 days after Rob went missing, they interviewed more friends and contacts of Gacy's. The class ring that was found in his house, they tracked down all of the alumni from, I forget the name of the high school, but from the high school, went through all of the records and the initials and discovered who was missing. John Zigg, which I don't know if I put a photo of him, was last seen January 20th, 1977. He lived in Des Plaines. They also discovered it was they discovered it was his class ring in the house. His mom, when she was interviewed, also brought up that they noticed a TV and a radio was missing from his apartment. They also discovered that John Zigg's car was never recovered. But funny enough, Mike Rossi was driving a very similar car.
Coincidences are crazy.
Crazy.
You want to hear the next coincidence?
Yes.
Did they happen to just find his body in Gacy's house?
No, we're not
That would be
there.
a crazy
Stop reading
coincidence
ahead.
to
They checked the VIN numbers on the cars, and they were almost exactly the same, except one digit. And then someone at the police station, when the investigator said, "Hey, didn't Mike Rossi say that Gacy sold him that car?" So they got, sorry, there's noise coming from the hallway. At this point, also, John began thinking of the Delta Force as his friends. He would invite them in his house
I
and
feel like
take
he doesn't know what a friend is.
Would you want to be his friend?
Anybody who has ever looked at him, he's like, friend.
Yeah, he's like
Same
a
with me.
child. Like, we
Yeah,
talk,
are
we're
you my
best friends
friend?
now.
Because nobody liked him when he was a kid, so now he doesn't understand how friendship works.
That's fair. He would invite them in his house. This one instance when Bob Schultz and Rob Robinson were on, Bob said, "You know, I'm gonna go to the bathroom." He used this as an opportunity to kind of look around for like the TV that like John Zig's mom had
Yeah.
said.
Why would you invite police into your house
He thinks he's
when
smarter
you're
than them.
so guilty of stuff?
He thinks that they don't know.
He
Feel
thinks
like it's
he's
the same as people who when they're like, "Hey, will you give us DNA for testing or whatever?" And people will say yes sometimes, even when they did it, in the hopes that they're like the 1% where there's a mistake and the DNA doesn't match for whatever reason.
Or they thought like maybe I didn't leave any DNA or something.
Yeah, it's probably fine. I'll do it and I won't look guilty.
It's probably you look more guilty if you say, well, I don't know. I don't know. It's, I think it's, is it narcissism or is it ego?
That depends.
To be like, I can invite these officers into my house and they're not going to find anything because I'm so much smarter than them. What's that, Lacey?
I'm not actually, like, a psychiatrist.
Lacey.
I don't know that I'm allowed to diagnose narcissism in people. I have a very internet-level understanding of narcissism.
Pat said it's arrogance.
Arrogance. Ooh, Lacey, you should know things because you're an English teacher.
I thought you were asking me if he was a narcissist.
I was just trying to figure out what definitions are.
Pat's well, over Pat here being like, one. I got that, and I didn't even go to college.
Yeah, he also has the arrogance of John Wayne Gacy. I'm smarter than everybody!
Anyway.
Arrogant dipshits.
So, well, he's in the
house. I can fool the cops!
While they're in the house, Bob is taking this opportunity to kind of look around, see if they can get any more evidence on Gacy, because even though they're hearing all these things and they're like, they seem like they have a strong case, they don't have anything concrete.
Yeah.
While Bob was pretending to go to the bathroom, he couldn't find the TV, but to just kind of keep appearances up, he flushed the toilet in the bathroom. At that point, the heat kicked on in Gacy's house.
Uh-oh.
And he could smell something familiar and distinctive. Yes, Drew.
Was it a dead body?
It was.
Was it multiple dead bodies?
I don't know if he knew it was multiple, but he smelled corpses decomposing. Again, unfortunately, like, that's not enough to get a search warrant.
Yeah. Very alarming, though.
Yeah. Hold on, a train's passing.
Jesus, Bailey, are you in the noisiest hotel in the world?
I mean, I might as well be in Center City at this point.
There's cops outside, there's chaos in the hallway, and now there's a train. Have you guys watched My Cousin Vinny?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that movie, first of all. Secondly, I do a great Marissa Tomei impression. And third, it's like when he's trying to get some sleep during the case. First, there's a train that, like, shakes the whole hotel. Then there are the pigs that are going to slaughter. Then there's a screeching owl.
Is the train done yet?
No. But it's fading.
Pat's like a little child. He's, like, leaning on the window, staring out at the train.
Well, he's not allowed to do anything else. He's not allowed to watch TV. What is he supposed to do?
There is a bedroom with a TV. He can watch it quietly.
Actually, you know what? That's where I would. I miss watching TV in bed.
Okay, can I get back to John Wayne Gacy now? Yeah,
please. You're the one who stopped because of train.
We're worrying for the train.
Whatever.
We're desperate to know what happens with the smell of the dead bodies.
So, they wanted to continue adding pressure on Gacy, so they brought Cram back in, David Cram, his bestie, and interviewed him more. Because they knew that it would get back to Gacy that, like, his workers were being questioned. And Cram...
Sorry, I'm just thinking, like, do you think that he flushed the toilet, he got a whiff of the corpses... And do you think he, like, went back out to his partner and was like, do you smell it? Like,
later in the car or what?
Well, I imagine the heat kicked on in the entire house.
Yeah.
So I would hope that the other guy smelled it too.
I would hope so.
I don't know. Maybe they got into the car, like, giggly little teenage girls and been like, did you smell that? I did.
So they brought Cram back in, and Cram was like, during his interview, he was like, yeah, another weird thing, Gacy once, like, had me dig a bunch of, like, holes in his crawl space. He said it was, like, for, like, tiles or, like, storage or something, but, like, that was weird. And at this point, they, like, they knew they needed to search again, and they needed to search that crawl space. But they didn't have anything concrete until they finally had a formal interview with Kim Byers, the cashier from the pharmacy.
You know, they probably could have just asked Gacy, and he would have been like, you want to see it? Sure, do you want to hang out with me too? We are best friends.
Be my friend forever.
You want to see my clown tricks? God, you're such a loser.
They asked her about the receipt from the photos. And she admitted it was hers, the receipt that ended up in Gacy's house. She had turned in film that day. She said that she was wearing Rob's coat that evening since the register was so close to the front door and it was fucking December in Chicago and freezing.
Oh.
She distinctly remembers putting her photo receipt in Rob's pocket on his coat because she thought Rob was cute and she wanted him to find it and have a reason to talk to her.
Well.
So the police were like, fuck yeah, we have concrete evidence. There's no way Rob was not in that house if that photo receipt got there.
At the very least, his coat was.
Yeah. And at that point, they know they have multiple witnesses of Rob wearing that coat when he was saying he was going outside to talk to a contractor.
It sounds like they've got probable cause.
They do.
Yay!
So while they're getting that, Gacy showed up back to his lawyer's office on the 20th of December, drunk.
Oh.
He needed to tell them something.
Oh, dear.
He sat down, asked for two large gulps of alcohol. I think he was drinking, like, cognac or something. Ooh, we have a cat in the...
Oh, he's got a cat asshole.
Put his butt right at me. I don't even know.
He wants you to groom him.
His butt?
He just pooped. He needs his butt wiped. Lindsay, you're going to be a mom soon. You need to get used to this.
If she comes out with her butt this hairy, I will take her to a groomer.
Just the hair you saw in the ultrasound was just her butt?
For a little halo.
So after stalling his lawyers, saying, like, he wanted to talk, but not, like, starting a conversation. This is also after he told his lawyers, hey, I'll be there at, like, 8 or 9 or whatever, showed up, like, 2 hours late. So his lawyers are pissed off at him. And they're like, can you fucking tell me, like, why we're here? What are we doing here, John?
He's really bad at timekeeping.
Yeah. And John was like, so there was a newspaper article talking about Rob's disappearance, and John looked at it and then said, this kid's dead, to his lawyers. Gacy went on for hours, admitting everything. Quote, for how he treats or sees his victims, he said, fucking male prostitutes, greedy fucking liars. I never forced any sex on anyone in my fucking life. It's, something for the money. Most of the time, money. It was always these greedy fucking hustlers. Then they would change their tune wanting more money. He then admitted to his lawyers he killed 30 people.
Hey, I was right when I said 30 people.
Yeah, you actually were. He also admitted that his first murder was a boy named Timothy McCoy that he picked up from a Greyhound bus station in 1972. So 6 years ago.
How old was he? Because I don't like that we're calling him Timothy. He sounds like he's a child.
I think he was 15.
Okay. It's a little bit better. Still a child, but
we'll get into his like victims and like specifics like later.
Okay.
After his admittance, he was exhausted and he passed out in his chair.
He's probably also a little drunk.
Yeah. At this point, his lawyers were like, well, fuck. He's our client. We've got to do what we can do best for him. So in the middle of the night, because this was a, like, hour long, these were hours of conversation going through every murder. His lawyers began calling hospitals for emergency psychiatric appointments. They needed to get him admitted. The next morning, December 21st, Gacy woke up in his lawyer's office, and they were like, "Hey, John, do you remember what happened last night?" And he's like, "No, this is also weird why I'm in here. Like, what's going on?"
That's the scariest way to wake up.
Yeah.
When you wake up and someone's like, "Do you remember what happened last night?" That's like, no, it's not good.
Yeah.
Then his lawyers were like, "You told us everything, John. Like, you told us everything in detail, and we need to take you to this appointment with a psychiatrist to help you." And Gacy was like, "No, I'm going to do this my way." No.
He knows how to do it, man.
Hi. You remember what happened last night? No. You told us you murdered so many people.
He didn't do that.
I know. Guys, I've been getting away with this for so long. I'm totes fine.
I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. I'm not going to confess to any more people.
Big deal. You guys are getting really, like, loud for no reason.
Yeah, I'm hungover. Let me go home.
Which, during that entire night, his lawyer actually, like, let the Delta Force, like, come and sit in, like, the waiting area while him and John were, like, in the office.
They could have overheard?
No, they didn't. But, like, they were right there while literally, like, John was, like, spilling his guts.
How did John get to the lawyer's office?
He drove.
Drunk?
Yeah.
Oh my god. He is the worst.
One thing after another.
Yeah, where's the line, John? Huh? Is there nothing he won't do?
It's about 50 yards behind him.
Speeding? Driving drunk? He probably litters, too. God. The worst.
He left his lawyer's office and sped off as usual. He stopped at a Shell gas station where he had a business account. He started popping his Valiums. And he was talking to the owner of the gas station and telling him his life was over. He then walked up to one of the employees who was pumping gas in his car, and stuffed a plastic baggie full of joints into the employee's pockets in plain sight of the Deltas.
Oh.
The employee ended up giving it to his boss, who then gave it to the Deltas and were like, "Something's wrong with Gacy. Heads up."
Something's wrong with this dude.
A little bit off tonight.
A little erratic.
Gacy was like saying final goodbyes and hugging people. So this kind of, like, scared the Deltas a little bit, being like, what is he doing?
He's going to kill himself.
I like that part of his final goodbye was making sure his drugs went to somebody he trusted.
Well, he was like, "I won't need these."
You're a good lad. Have my joints.
Yeah, I'm not going to tip you, but, you know.
Drew, if you're not happy about the driving drunk, you're not going to like this next part.
Oh, jeez.
He blew through school zones going 60 miles an hour.
Were the lights activated?
Probably.
Oh, Jesus.
Which the Deltas warned him that they weren't going to bust him on just, like, they couldn't, like, it,
they weren't going to bother stopping him.
Yeah. But they were like, "You need to slow the fuck down.
Yeah, you're driving crazy, man. We can't keep up with you."
Do you want to hear what John responded to them?
Sure.
He was like, "You guys have to stop yelling at me. This is the end and you know it. This is my last day. That's it.
You guys are being mean. I thought we were friends. I invited you into my home and you used my potty.
Friends."
Oh my god.
I thought you'd like that one.
Is he sure he doesn't need psychiatric help?
He says, "I got it, guys. I'm fine."
Oh my god.
Gacy continued on, stopping at friends' homes and saying goodbyes. He had stopped at Rossi and Cram's and convinced Rossi to start driving for him. Since he was so tired and fucked up on Valium, and also kind of still drunk from before. At one point, it looked like he was headed to the cemetery where his father was buried, Maryhill Cemetery. noticing this, the Deltas were like, hey, like radioing back to like headquarters being like, we need to do something. Like, he's clearly on a goodbye tour right now. What can we bust him on? And finally they got the permission to arrest him for the marijuana dispensing.
Good.
Which delivering a marijuana is a felony, even if no money changes hands. And an arrest on felony charges would allow the police to hold Gacy for a significant period of time. Nice. So this is like the perfect thing. So, getting together all four of the Deltas now, because they work in teams of two, along with their boss, Wally, were in hot pursuit of the car driven by Rossi and carrying John Wayne Gacy. And on December 21st at 12:15 p.m., Gacy breathed his last breath of free air.
Oh.
Three unmarked squad cars. Surrounded his car. Had their sidearms drawn and approached the passenger side.
Was he like, I thought we were friends?
Yeah.
Like, what's up, guys?
That's what he said. He was like, why are you guys doing this? I thought we were friends.
Yeah, I also, when you said that he, like, went to his friend's house to say goodbye, I really wanted Ross and Mike to be like, we're not friends. So, like, we work for you, man. It's just sad.
So after 8 long days of following this man, they finally had him in custody. And that is where we're going to leave you for part 2.
Oh!
Yeah, you part 3, the trial's just, it's a lot.
Yeah, we also haven't uncovered any bodies yet.
That too.
I saw it coming.
Well, you also know the case a little bit.
Well, and I also am... I can see the time that we've been recording.
That too.
And I was like, you did say 30 bodies. So.
It's true. She did say 30 bodies. I feel like
every time we record, Bailey has DQ.
It's my ice cream time.
It's my ice cream time.
I almost had a bowl of ice cream for recording today, but you may or may not remember I'm full of tots. And I talked myself out of it. And I'm so glad because I've just been getting fuller as I sit here.
She's totted up.
Ice cream, it heats up in your mouth and your esophagus and melts.
That was the argument I was making to myself. I was like, it'll fit in all the crevices. But yeah. I wasn't just going to have ice cream as the problem. I was going to take, we have brownies. I was going to break them into pieces and warm them up. And then put the ice cream on top.
Can't do that.
Yeah, it was going to, and I was like, you know what? I don't think I had so many tots.
Lacey, you need to tell Pat the story about the tots.
Oh, is he listening?
He's talking about the ice cream thing.
Well, I made a bag of tots thinking that Brandon would also, like, we'd each have half a bag, which even by itself, that's a lot of tots. But then Brandon ended up, he didn't realize we had some leftovers from the other night, and he was excited about those, so he ate them. So I ate all the tots, and now I'm so full. Uncomfortably, and I even checked with him in case he wanted some, and he's like, no, you can finish them. He got my plate when I finished the first half, and he scooped the rest of them on the plate for me. Man, fed me all the tot.
He's a bad friend.
He felt like a very supportive friend at the time.
Not I was like, supportive, yeah, if he made you feel this way.
Did you just eat plain tots?
No.
Okay.
She's when like, they are had, you like, crazy?
When they had like a minute or two left in the oven, I put cheese on them, put them into the cheese melted, and then I did ranch and sriracha.
Oh, so it was like a whole meal.
It was a whole event, yes.
Yeah. It was loaded tots.
It was. Yeah. It was loaded tots.
Well, that was
delicious. Close to me.
Oh, I forgot we weren't done recording.
If you lived close to me, you could have texted me and said, hey, I have too many tots. And I would have been like, that's okay. Lou ate all of my dinner.
I wouldn't have texted you and risked you being like, oh, I'll come have some tots.
Why?
I wanted them so bad.
She doesn't want to share. She didn't She didn't want to. She doesn't want to feel this way, but she didn't want to share.
It's a conundrum. And tomorrow I'll have ice cream.
I'm gonna have ice cream right now.
Oh. I'm having it currently.
We all have plans.
Well, that was sinister.
And we were sarcastic.
And we hope you keep listening.